This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. My first series collection is out. The first three books of The Storm Below are gathered in one awesome bundle. When Ari and Shailene are drafted into the Autonomy's Navy, their love is stressed to the breaking. Assassins, dark gods, and the demonic storm riders sound all they hold dear. Today, I'm joined by Kaylee Allen. She's the author of the science fiction romance book A Stolen Heart, an immortal science fiction in the Antonello Brothers series. How are you doing today, Kale?
I'm awesome. How are you?
Oh, I am doing great. I always like to start these interviews off with a fun question or two. So, Kale, what is your favorite season?
My favorite season?
Yeah.
I really like everything. I try to bloom where I'm planted. So when it's summer, I'm really enjoying the green. And in the winter, I love the look of the cold, icy trees that are all bare. They have their own beauty. And I'm just trying to look at each season the same way, as having its own unique beauty. So that way I can be happy wherever I am.
Okay. So how long have you wanted to be a writer?
Oh my, until when I was a kid, literally 5 or 6 years old, and I was in school, one of the first words they taught us was cat. And I came home and showed my mother how well I could write the word cat. I was so impressed with myself. And I said, now, when I grow up, I can tell stories about cats. And my mother said, well, isn't that sweet? You know, I don't even remember what she said. I just remember she was kind of encouraging. Well, fast forward literally 50 years, and the first book I wrote was had a feline hero. And I never connected those two until someone asked me, how long have you wanted to be a writer? So I always wanted to be a writer, I think. I always enjoyed telling stories.
Okay. And but you went 50 years, huh, before you wrote your actual first novel?
Yeah, I was 53 when my first novel came out.
Nice. So what did you do before you became an author, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, yeah, I was an administrative assistant. I had been a recruiter for a company where I went to job fairs and interviewed people. I was in the military and I fixed fighter airplanes, crawled around the tops of them, pulling black boxes out to be fixed. Later, I went to the
facility. Oh, yeah. My dad was a weapons mechanic in the Air Force.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which branches? I was Navy.
Okay, he was Air Force. He worked on F-16s. And F-4s.
I was on the F-8, the Crusader. And when I later got promoted to a different area, I ended up getting those boxes that I had yanked out of planes and sent in for somebody to fix. On the field, there's no time to fix anything. So you just pull the thing out, put a new one in, and button it up, and it's ready to go again so the plane can fly. You don't want to sit around waiting. But when I got there, it was a whole different story. I had to open it up and learn how to take all that apart. So one of the things I gained from that is an appreciation for the importance of details. I've always focused on details, I think, since then. And as a secretary / administrative assistant, I had to be very organized. So using those organizational skills has really helped me as a writer.
Oh, in what way?
Go ahead.
And now, what way has it helped?
Well, for one thing, my kitchen is usually very organized. Now the laundry, that's another story. But when I go into my computer, everything is filed very specifically. I have protocols that I use so that I can always find something like images. I have thousands of images because I'm a graphic designer by hobby. So I have all these, a folder with literally over 10,000 pictures in it. Every one of them is in a folder that helps me find that specific thing that I'm looking for. All the books are named a certain way in my files, that sort of thing. Same with email. My email, I never have more than about maybe 10 or 15 things in my inbox, and they're usually nothing in there by the end of the day, just because I'm organized and learned how to handle those things.
Yeah, I have a fairly kind of rigid way I have my file structure for like my stories and stuff, like so I can find things.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, people always talk about like, oh, you can do this all in like Scrivener. And I'm like, well, I already did it not in Scrivener, and it's going to be too much work to put it into Scrivener. it's like the same thing. I would just be digging through Scrivener's file system instead of my own like hard drive. But
I've heard so much about Scrivener. I have a couple of friends who swear by it. And I actually was able to get a copy of it. I got a special deal, and it was really great. I thought, this is going to be awesome. And then when I saw the learning curve and how much I would have to do, I was too busy writing to stop and do it. So I never did learn.
But I
make Word do anything I want it to. So.
Yeah, no, I have Scrivener rattling around on my hard drive, and I was like, oh, this is a lot of, I just don't have time. I already figured out, like, everything Scrivener, like, kind of did. I already figured out how to do it without Scrivener, so it just didn't seem. Yeah, so I was like, okay, well, the time investment wasn't worth it.
The idea of having all your files at hand and you can just flip and see all the things, that's how I have my stuff set up already. So I can go look at the exact same thing. I don't think I need that. So.
Yeah. So anyways, let's talk about your actual book. So we have Stolen Heart, right? It's about a immortal space pirate that's got to take care of this innocent kid, right?
Right.
Let's talk about it.
This guy is literally, he's 12,000 years old, and he's never had anything to do with children. The one time he did anything with a child, it was a 10-year-old, and he terrified them, and it's really kind of set him off from doing anything with kids. But on top of that, he has a dark secret in that the reason he is so anti, he doesn't dislike children. He has great respect for them and awe of them. But when he was one of his first duties was to use his powers that he has to destroy a building. Well, they didn't tell him that there were children in the building, and he came across their bodies. And when he went to his supervisor to say, look what we've done, the supervisor said, yeah, we know, we were trying to toughen you up. We figured this would get you. And he literally deserted. He walked away. He was like, I will have nothing to do with this. I will never use my powers for that again. And he never has. He's never, ever used them. And in this book, he has this 3-year-old who depends on him. And he has to figure out and face that demon in his past. So that's the character Luke, who is the immortal. It's one of my favorite characters. He's been in a bunch of different books. But this is sort of an origin story for him. So it's a really special book. I have 4 more stories coming out with him in it this year. February, 2 of them in February, 1 in March, and 1 in May. Or no, April and May.
Awesome. You sound like you're very prolific.
I want to say about 21 books. Some of them are not published because I use them as giveaways for my readers. But and I plan to have a whole lot more. If I couldn't die until I wrote all the stories in my head, I would live forever.
I totally get what you're coming at. Yeah, I'm publishing 8 new novels this year.
So. Wow.
Yeah. Well,
to do this.
Well, I wrote 5 of them last year. Well, I wrote 7 of them last year, and I'm writing the last one right now. So, and then we're going to do some, rapid releases. And so fingers crossed that it works out.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. And people don't realize when you put out that many, just how much time you have to really spend sitting in a chair doing the thing.
Yeah. I put 2 hours a day on those novels, and that gives me about a 100,000 word novel, in a month, so.
Wow, that's very good.
Yeah, they taught me typing in I'm at that age where they taught us how to type in school, like in junior high, so I'm really a fast typer, so that helps.
Yeah. My husband always joked that when I was composing, it sounded like a machine gun, and you know, all the little because I was typing so fast. I think I tested myself a couple of times, and I was about 80 or 90 words a minute. But that's when you're composing. Normally, if I'm just doing, no. But I can type pretty fast when I'm in the zone, you know, that.
Yeah.
And it just flows. I love it when it comes, that comes. But you got to do it even if, sometimes I sit down and it's like, okay, I need to write at least half a chapter, you know, and
right.
You have to force yourself to come up with something.
Yeah, I've had days like that where you're just like, listen, because I do it like, listen, you're going to just sit down, you're going to write for an hour, and just get those fingers moving, and something might come out that's good, and if not, well, that's what rewrites are for. But just got to get it done.
Yeah, and it takes discipline, I get the question a lot, how do you find time to write? I don't find time to write. I make time to write. It's something I do every single day, just about. Some days I'm working on my career, like doing an interview like this, or I'm working on my website or things like that. But almost every single day I'm writing. It's how you get it done.
Like the only time I really probably don't write in a day is like if I'm on vacation, and even then I'll probably sneak off with a laptop somewhere and write something.
my vacation over Christmas was interesting because my husband sleeps late, and I'm an early riser. I can't help myself. I have to be awake. I can't sleep in. The latest I think I've slept in 20 years is maybe 9 o'clock. I just can't sleep in. So I would get up, and I was trying to be quiet because I didn't want to wake him up. So I came in my office, of course, where else, right?
Yeah.
And guess what I did? Yeah. So it wasn't really much vacation.
Yeah, I took a couple of days to read a book that came out. So, because it was Brandon Sanderson, and it's like a 1,000-page book. So I took 3 days off to read that. But
oh, yeah.
I tried to sleep in. I couldn't. Like, I got like an extra hour.
Sounds like we have something in common there.
Yeah.
I don't know. About sleeping.
Yeah. So tell us about this child that Luke has to take care of.
His name is Senth. And he's in several other books as well. My first book was called At the Mercy of Her Pleasure, and it was about Senth and a woman named Nare. At the time, Senth was, I want to say 19 years old, 18 or 19 years old, and she was a little older. She was like 25, I think. So it was an older woman, younger man sort of romance, which was a big thing at that point. And the story was she was a rebel captain, and her parents had been killed by the Empress, and all of their belongings had been confiscated by the Empress. Well, they had a code to a prototype that was in those belongings, and only Nare knew where it was. So she needed to get it back. So she hired Senth, who is a professional thief, and they fall in love. Well, in this book, it's how he got adopted by Luke and why. And always Luke told the story that he had gone to the Thieves Guild Academy because he was looking for a friend's child who'd been gone missing. And he found her, and Senth had stolen a piece of candy out of his pocket, and he was impressed, so he adopted him. And people thought, okay, right, you know, but what are you going to say? That's what Luke said happened. So, but in reality, a whole other story took place, and he used that tale to cover for what really happened. And when he rescues his child and starts taking care of him, he discovers very quickly that there's a conspiracy going on at very high levels within the Thieves Guild, and all the work he's done over several lifetimes to make it a profitable entity that can be used to direct mankind for the immortals, is being torn apart. So he's very interested in getting it back the way it needs to go. There's a lot of conflict for him. He's been promised he would be done with the Thieves Guild and he could move on. He really wants to do something else. He's got this whole other life planned. And this happens. And now he's stuck having to decide, do I really want to do this or do I really want to go where I've been promised for so many, literally centuries? It's a great deal of conflict for him. But the child himself is this very sweet, half-human boy. If you've seen the cover, he has these huge blue eyes that are cat eyes. He's a half-feline creature who is the kin are a very cat-like race, but they're also quite human-looking. And Senth was a half-breed, so the kin people didn't want anything to do with him. And humans didn't want anything to do with him. And so he kept getting shunted to different places. And he ends up in the Thieves Guild Academy, where he's still very much on the outside. And he is running from his teacher and runs into the room where Luke is waiting for someone. And the two of them hit it off immediately and become this sort of this bonded pair. It was so fun to write Luke, who's this big guy he's 6'5", you know, he's built like a warrior god of some sort, and he's brilliant. He's an amazing entrepreneur. He's got all these businesses. He owns half the empire. You know, it's just this really huge, powerful person. And then comes this tiny little 3-year-old and just wraps him around his finger, you know, it was great fun watching the two of them charm each other in a sense. Luke goes from thinking he could never really have a family to fighting to keep one. And it's one of my favorite books, I have to say. There's so much backstory in it told as the story develops. There's like little pieces from other stories that fall in. These characters have been in multiple books. And so it was fun to show, so that's where the origin of that was. And when you read other books beyond this one, then you find, now you could go back to A Stolen Heart and see why certain things are happening, because that's what happened in this book that set it in motion. That's one of my favorite parts of writing, is to create stories that overlap, you know, or interact with
each other.
I write mostly, I have one book that is not connected to anything else. It's a contemporary Christmas romance that I wrote as a gift for my critique group. And they said, this is so good, you have to publish this. So I did. And it's one of my best selling books, but it isn't my stuff. It was completely off the, you know, a different thing. Yep. I liked writing contemporary. I could probably do a pretty good job with it, but just not what I want to do. But these stories are all interconnected in the same world.
Yeah, I'm developing my own world with that. And so like I had the first series, and then I did another series that was like a companion series, but it was different characters. But I came back to like that first setting. And so I got to see all these like characters I hadn't written in a year and just have them interact with like a couple of new characters, and it's been a lot of fun to write.
It is.
Yeah, because I was like, I hadn't gone to write like Daughter Defona in a while, or some of the other characters. It was a lot of fun. But how many books are in your shared universe?
Well, I have a trilogy that's out. That's really it's a box set right now. It's not available individual books. And then I have 4 books in the Antinola Brothers series. I'm releasing 3 books and a short story in the Antinola Brothers Immortal series. And then I have about 4 or so that are outside the Tarthian Empire, but are still in the same universe. And then a bunch of things that are, like I said before, freebies for people who subscribe to my newsletter.
Cool. So what's next for you in your writing career?
I'm thinking about doing audiobooks, but I'm not sure yet. I've heard so much controversy lately about Audible and their issue with people can listen to a book and then turn it back in and say they want their money back and they just give it to them. And I don't think that's fair to the author who has put all the money out to create these books, because they pay the author and then they take the money back and the author gets nothing. And Audible is almost, apparently, they're almost offering people to do that. So at this point, even though it's, I think, something I would like to do, I certainly wouldn't do it with Audible. And I'm not sure that anybody else would be any different. So I'm really on the fence about that.
Yeah. Amazon does that with ebooks too, though.
Yes, they do. But less to a lesser degree, this has been... An ebook doesn't cost you nearly as much to create either.
It's not as much monetary. Yeah, no, I know. I'm producing an audiobook series, and yeah, it's expensive.
I would like to do my own, but my voice is such that I wouldn't quite make it. I'm good for a short period, but then I start yawning.
Yeah.
It's something with sitting and speaking. Talking for a long time, I will start yawning. I don't want to even say that word really because it'll make me do it. But and then I just feel like my voice, it just doesn't have the same quality that someone will want to listen to for a long period. But I know the story. That doesn't mean I'm going to be good at reading it. I have a couple of videos that I made that are, they're more like a slideshow with motion, whatever. A few years ago, I discovered this cosplayer who is in Russia, who is an absolute dead ringer for my character, Piatos, the Immortal King. And Piatos has been in all but, he's the only book he hasn't been in is Romances Forever, which is, A Romance for Christmas. That's my little contemporary book. He's in every single book. And he's a key character. He's in all the books that I'm releasing this year. And he's got this ritual that he performs, and I was at the time writing a book where he performs the ritual, and I was watching Nick Nitsvedov do some different things that he was involved with, and I thought, wow, if I could get him to cosplay Piatos and do the ritual, it would be a dream come true. But there was no way, and I mentioned it to a friend, and she insisted, oh, we just need to ask him. Like, I'm not asking him. He'll block me. You think I'm some weird American woman, you know? She said, no, I'll talk to him. And so she actually ended up being best friends with him. So they talk to each other every single day. It's really weird. And but she asked him about it, and, you know, he wanted to know more. So he has since cosplayed Piatos 3 times for me, live on Instagram or TikTok. And I've got hundreds and hundreds of photos. His girlfriend is the photographer, and she does an incredible job photographing him. She just knows him so well. She can pick up all the little subtleties that are things that I really love about the character. And I write out some things I want him to do, and he will do them, and she takes these photos. They're just amazing to see. Awesome. So I created a couple of videos for that, but I wanted a voiceover. And, you know, we're saying, audio stuff is pretty expensive. So I went on Fiverr, and I found a voice actor that I thought sounded pretty good. And I got him to record the words to the ritual. And the more I listened to it, the less I liked it. So I thought, well, I'll try one more. So I tried another guy, and it wasn't that expensive. I managed to get it, and I still just wasn't happy with it. And I thought, okay, I'm gonna try one more time, and if it doesn't work out this time, I'm just gonna ask my readers to pick one what they think is the best, and we'll go with it. So I talked to the third guy and left him a message, and he recorded a message for me repeating what I had told him, and it was like listening to Piatos himself. I was so weird. He sounds like what I hear in my head when I write. So I was able to work with him, and we made several videos together, and he recorded a whole lot of things for me. So I'd like to do more of that. His name is Zach Black. Just amazing. He owns a voiceover company called Voices by Zach, and he's got a fantastic voice. It's a tenor, a rich tenor voice, and he can do accents and whatnot. So he created this special voice for Pietas, who learned to speak English from someone who is has an English accent. And so every now and then you'll hear a word that has a bit of an accent to it, or a little bit of a lilt, because Pietas was born in Wales. So interesting character. And between Nick and Zach performing this character, readers can really see what I see, which is, how unusual is that? You know, it's, other than having someone actually make a movie, which wouldn't that be, you know, wow. My best bet. So I think I would like to do more of that in the future. And awesome. I'm hoping to do another cosplay with Nick this year.
Cool. And where can our listeners find you on the internet?
My, me?
Yeah, where they can, like, connect with you.
My website is kaellallen.com, and it's kaellallen, kaellallen.
All right.
If you Google me, you'll find me. I've been around a long time.
Awesome. Well, it was really great talking with you, Kael.
Thank you, James. Appreciate it.
Yeah. You have yourself a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com, and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.